This past month for me has been a little bit of a whirlwind, I'm not going to lie. Going all the way back to the beginning of the month, I've had work trips to Washington, D.C., and to New York City, and to Chicago. Annie and I last weekend got to go on a wedding road trip to Vermont, and a few unexpected setbacks along the way. We had some cars breaking down somewhere in there and a few other things. And in all of this, it's kind of felt like a non-stop pace. Just when I think I can catch my breath, it felt like something new would come up, or there would be another situation to navigate. I think many of us have had seasons of life like this, haven't we? When things just seem to keep piling on more and more, and we're just racing to keep up. And in these seasons, you know, this is the best part, the other stressors, they don't take a break, do they? Grief doesn't pause, frustrations don't wait their turn, health issues don't care if we're already overwhelmed. In the midst of all of this, peace can feel like it's just out of reach. That's the word we're going to talk about this morning, peace. It's interesting. It brings us to this question, what really is peace? We all know what peace feels like when we have it, and we certainly know what it feels like when we don't. But defining peace isn't so simple. I can look back on my life and I can see seasons where I can confirm, yes, I was at peace. And I can certainly look back on points in my life and I can say, wow, there was a lot of chaos there. But in the same breath, I can look back on seasons and I can see moments where I had both peace and chaos almost working harmoniously. Our culture right now, I don't think it's too far out to say, based on what Randy has already said this morning and what we're seeing in our world, is searching for peace. I've talked to people just this morning, and just by the simple acknowledgement of telling them, hey, this morning I'm going to talk about peace, I've gotten a lot of, oh yeah, we need that. So it's interesting, right? What is peace? Some people dedicate their lives to finding it. Others create entire movements around it. And we often imagine peace as a quiet, serene scene, right? We see waves crashing on a beach. We see a mountain stream, or we see a quiet forest. But we know that this peace can feel fragile, right? It disappears from moments when life takes a difficult turn. So how then do we find a peace that truly lasts? This question feels more relevant now than ever. In our hyper-connected world, we are constantly bombarded with news and opinions and conflicts that seem to disrupt our sense of calm. I've spoken with friends who say that this is one of the most unsettling times they can remember. Now, granted, I'm only 25. Some of you have a few more years of experience to go off of, but I'm inclined to agree at certain moments. It's true that our world can feel like a troubling place, full of tension, uncertainty, and division. But despite all of this, we have a Savior who calls us to a different kind of peace. It is a peace that does not rely on circumstances, but on something, no, rather someone far greater. Jesus has a funny way of doing this. He loves to redefine words for his disciples, for us as we look back and we read, and it's no different here. Jesus redefines peace. It's not a fragile and temporary calm. Instead, the peace that we're going to talk about this morning is a resilient, powerful, and it's grounded in his unchanging presence. Jesus shows us that peace does not mean the absence of trouble. Rather, it's the assurance that he is with us, even in the midst of it. What drew me to this topic was, in the midst of all this chaos, as I'm doing my Bible study, I read John 16. And this is a moment where Jesus is speaking to his disciples about a lot of things that are about to happen in their future. This is a moment where they're all sitting down, and Jesus is for the first time letting them know, like, hey, I know I've been with you, physically with you all of this time, but very soon here, there's going to be a moment where I'm not going to be with you. And there's a verse here, the last verse of chapter 16, that's going to frame our discussion. So after warning the disciples of all the troubles they'll face, he ends with a promise. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We often think of peace as a life without conflict or worry, but Jesus introduces something radical. A peace that exists within trouble, not apart from it. Throughout today's message, I'm also going to draw on insights from a guy that I've been reading a lot of lately. His name is Paul David Tripp. He's an author and a counselor known for helping believers find real-life applications to the things we see in the gospel. And the reason why I keep going back to him is because he has a lot of really important insights on peace, ones that I'll call out as we go throughout this morning. But one of the things that he says that caught my attention right off the jump is that peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. As I wrote this for this morning, I almost found myself in the chaos of everything that was going on and all the work trips and everything else. I almost found myself writing a case study on peace. What it is, how we get there, what it looks like, how we actually break this thing down, and why Jesus actually ultimately is peace. So my hope for this morning, if I can almost give you a thesis statement to what I'm doing here, is that in a world that desperately seeks peace, true and lasting peace is not a set of circumstances, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. We do not find peace by avoiding troubles or by controlling every aspect of life, but by being reconciled to God through Christ. This peace then empowers us to live in harmony with God, within ourselves, and with others. So let's talk about that first part there. Peace with God through reconciliation. It's a big word, reconciliation. But at the core of every person's longing for peace, I'm going to argue, is a deeper spiritual need, often unrecognized, the need for reconciliation with God. You see, sin has this inherent ability to alienate us and create a chasm between our Creator and us. This separation, it isn't just a spiritual concept. It's the root cause of the unrest that we find within us. When we are out of harmony with God, our inner lives feel disordered and unsettled and lacking in peace. It's Tripp who writes that grace produces what we desperately need but have no power to produce on our own. Did you catch that? Grace produces what we desperately need but have no power to produce on our own. Vertical and horizontal peace. He has such a unique way of breaking this down. This vertical peace is the foundational peace. Yeah. This vertical peace, one that every other kind of peace that relies on. Until we are reconciled with God, we cannot truly experience peace in any other area of life, can we? In Ephesians 2, 13 to 14, Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our," what? Peace. I heard some rumblings. There we go. There's going to be a lot of peace talk this morning. It's going to be peace. That's the answer. Jesus didn't just bring peace. He is our peace. By his life, by his death, and by his resurrection, he bridged the gap that sin created between us and God. He bore the weight of our sins, taking on the punishment that we deserved so that we could experience true and lasting with God. And to fully grasp that peace that Jesus offers, we need to understand why reconciliation is necessary, right? This is kind of going to become a Sin 101 class really quick, but sin is more than just a list of wrongdoings. It's a physical state of being separated from God. It not only affects our relationship with God, but also our very nature. Being out of sync with God, it's often there that we begin to find the root of restlessness and anxiousness and defensiveness. Sin isolates us from the community that God brought us here to create. Tripp explains that sin makes us enemies of God and casts us into constant conflict with other people. So without reconciliation, we're left to carry this burden of separation on our own. And because we're designed to be in a relationship with God, this separation leaves an emptiness and a longing that nothing in this world will fill. But there's good news, because Isaiah, actually, he's one of the first people that gives Jesus this title in 9:6. Isaiah 9:6, he says, Jesus is the Prince of... I love it. This title, it isn't just a nice sentiment, it's a declaration of Jesus' mission and his identity. Jesus came to bring a peace that isn't able to be taken away. He didn't negotiate peace. He didn't offer a temporary truce. He achieved complete and eternal reconciliation. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, Jesus didn't just remove the barrier of sin. He restored the relationship itself. Imagine the scene of Jesus on the cross, right? He took the punishment on himself, the past, the present, and the future sins of the world. Every act of rebellion, every wrong thought or deed, every failure to love perfectly laid on him. Jesus became the bridge over the divide that separated humanity from God. And through his death, he bore the wrath of God's justice so that we might receive the fullness of his mercy. His resurrection confirmed the victory, securing peace forever. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us to live? Try to live in that reality of that peace, right? Because of Christ's work, we are now no longer identified by our sin. But we're identified by our identity in God. We are not just forgiven, we are brought close and we are invited into this intimate relationship. This peace with God is a gift of grace. Yes, it is unearned and it is undeserved, yet it's available to all who believe in Jesus. This vertical reconciliation, right, the relationship between us and our Father, is the foundation of our peace. When we have peace with God, we are secure in his love, and the assurance grounds us even as life's circumstances change. It's in Romans 5. Paul writes a lot about peace, so I'm going to go back to a lot of Paul's scriptures here. But he writes in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace, you'll notice, is not based on our performance, but on God's work, on God's finished work, and it's unshakable. So that leaves us again, what does it look like to live within this reality of peace with our God? It means resting in the knowledge that our sins are forgiven and that we are fully accepted by him. It means letting go of the need to earn God's love or to prove our worth, because Jesus has already done that through reconciliation. Living with this peace also means that when guilt, shame, or fear arise, we can turn to the cross. And we can remember that Christ's sacrifice was enough. Instead of letting our failures or our anxieties consume us, when we bring them to God, trusting that he has already dealt with our deepest need, reconciliation. Imagine a broken relationship. I mean, I know we all have broken relationships in our lives, where either someone, whether it be a close friend or a family member, whatever it is, you can feel still the pain of that separation, the sense of that loss, and the ache for things to be restored in that relationship. And that's just a glimpse into the spiritual separation that God dealt with due to sin. But now imagine that relationship is fully restored. Not just patched up, but reconciled in a way that's even deeper than it was before. This is the kind of peace that Jesus brings. It's not a temporary fix. It's a complete and transformative reconciliation that heals our relationship with God and brings us into the fullness of his love. Peace with God through Jesus is the beginning of all true peace. Without it, we are left on our own trying to manufacture something that just isn't there, attempting to fill the void with temporary fixes that never quite satisfy, right? Maybe it is that breeze blowing by or those waves crashing on the beach, but we all know those things are ultimately temporary. Instead, we find a peace that holds us steady, a peace that fills the deepest needs of our souls, a peace that is unbreakable, grounded not in our own efforts, but the finished work of Jesus, our Prince of Peace. You guys are still paying attention. I love it. Let's get to point number two now. Okay, so that's the reconciliation part. Now we're going to talk about peace in Christ's victory and his redemptive purpose, because this is important. It's taken the jump from point one to point two. So once we experience reconciliation with God, there's a shift that takes place within us. The peace we receive through Jesus isn't about mending our relationship with God. It begins to transform us in here. Through the Holy Spirit, God brings peace into the inner recesses of our hearts and our minds, offering us the stability and calm that transcend life's changing circumstances. Tripp once again writes that peace indwells you by the Spirit, gracing you with everything you need. In other words, this peace is not dependent on what happens around us, but on who lives within us. I'm going to say that again because it's important. In other words, this peace is not dependent on what happens around us, but who lives within us. It's a peace that goes beyond surface level calm. It's an anchored confidence, knowing that God's presence is constantly working around us. In Philippians 4:7, Paul once again gives us a beautiful picture of this peace. And fun anecdote here, Paul is writing this while he's most likely either in prison or in some form of chains, which just gives you a little bit more context into how, despite that, Paul's still writing about peace. So in Philippians 4:7, he writes, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This peace, it doesn't always make sense to the world around us, does it? It often defies our own understanding. It's not the result of ideal circumstances, but it's the result of the presence of Christ within us. Through the Holy Spirit, God brings a peace that guards us and that watches over our hearts and our minds, shielding us from the anxiety and the unrest that threaten to creep in. And it's this indwelling, it's God within us that creates a fortress protecting us from the overwhelming life worries. And I need to be clear here. We're talking about inner peace right now. We'll get to outer peace, but right now I want to talk about inner peace, because this is what I see more and more of, especially in my generation. We're searching to find it, this inner peace, and we look to fill that void everywhere we go. Maybe you've seen this in your own life. Maybe you're trying to fill that void as I'm speaking right now. So right now I'm talking about inner peace. And inner peace is not the absence of stress or turmoil. I don't know how much more clear I can make that. It is the result. Peace is the result of a secure relationship with God and the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. The Spirit is actively transforming us, reminding us of God's promises, and realigning our thoughts to reflect God's truths instead of our fears. Tripp describes it as peace convicts, forgives, delivers all of this for you. This shows us that the peace of God isn't just a blanket of comfort, right? It's a dynamic, refining presence within us. The Holy Spirit brings conviction when we stray, forgiveness when we repent, and freedom from the sins and anxieties that would otherwise dominate our hearts. This ongoing work of peace keeps us grounded, helping us find stability even when life feels chaotic. The Holy Spirit is often described as the counselor and comforter. The Spirit's presence within us is essential to us discovering inner peace. The Holy Spirit guides us to the truth, reminds us that in Jesus' teachings, and empowers us to trust in God's faithfulness even when we feel uncertain or fearful. Imagine the Holy Spirit as a gentle, guiding presence within. And when you feel overwhelmed or anxious or burdened, the Spirit reassures us, you are not alone. I am with you. It's this assurance that is the bedrock of the peace we're talking about this morning, reminding us that God's presence is constant, that God's presence is unshakable. The Spirit's presence is God's way of providing us with peace in real time, moment by moment, as we navigate life. So living with inner peace means allowing the Holy Spirit to shape our lives. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 encourages us and brings our worries to God, right? It says, let the peace of God guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And I want to be clear. Listen to that again. Let the peace of God guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This is a daily practice of surrender. I think sometimes we get it confused. Sometimes we think we can come here on a Sunday morning and we sit down and we pray. And we say, God, please take away all my anxieties and my burdens and my things. And we expect it's going to be like Aaron Rodgers throwing a Hail Mary into the back of the end zone. And it's going to work like 50% of the time. It doesn't work that way. It does. It's 50%. Look it up. It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. It is a daily practice I'm asking you to cultivate here. Whether it be in the morning or the evening, God is calling you to cast your anxieties on him. When we practice gratitude and we focus on God's faithfulness and engage in regular prayer, we cultivate an awareness for the Holy Spirit's presence. This doesn't mean we won't experience stress or anxiety or burdens, but it does mean that we have a secure place to bring those things. The Spirit is what helps us navigate our emotions without being overwhelmed by them, offering us peace that holds steady even in life's most difficult moments. No longer are we talking about a peace that is temporary and fleeting. Instead, we're talking about a peace that is with us in the troublesome times. I mean, consider a ship in a storm, right? It's tossed by waves, but it's held steady by an anchor. Our lives, we've heard this analogy before, can be like that ship, right? Facing circumstances that feel chaotic or uncertain. But when our hearts are anchored to the peace of the Holy Spirit, we aren't tossed by every wave. The storms may rage, but we remain secure because our peace isn't tied to the circumstances. Our peace is tied to the one who lives within us. Inner peace is like that anchor. It keeps us steady, it keeps us grounded, and it keeps us able to feel and field life's challenges without losing our sense of security. This isn't a peace that we create under our own strength. It's a peace that is gifted to us by God's Spirit, rooted in his unchanging presence and unwavering love. Inner peace, yes, is a precious gift from God. It is made possible only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is not the absence of struggles or the removal of stress, but it is the presence of a deep, resilient calm that comes from knowing God is within us. When we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and our minds, we experience a peace that truly transcends understanding. A peace that can only come from a life aligned with God and his promises. This is an inner peace that sustains us and that shapes us and that points us back to Jesus, our Prince of Peace. Love it. Still awake. I love it. Here we go. Point number three. All right. Peace with others through the power of the gospel. So far, we've talked about what peace kind of looks like as a whole, right? That was point number one. Then we got into this idea of inner peace. Now let's talk about outer peace. And I had to structure it that way because, one, we have to know what peace is, right? And then, two, we have to know what peace looks like within us, because the only way to get to point number three, where we have outer peace, is by knowing inner peace. When we receive the peace of Christ, it doesn't stop with our relationship with God or the peace that we feel within. True peace, born out of reconciliation with God, begins to flow outward, transforming how we relate and communicate with others. Jesus calls us not only to a personal peace, but to be agents of peace in a world that desperately needs it. Tripp writes, once again, "Peace reigns on your behalf. Peace graces you with everything you need." This peace that we receive from Christ equips us to live differently, to approach our relationships with grace and forgiveness and love, even especially when it's difficult. Just as God reconciled us to himself, he calls us to pursue that same reconciliation with others. Romans 12:18, another Paul passage, speaks to this outward expression of peace. And Paul writes, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." I like this verse because it acknowledges that peace isn't always in our control, right? It's not always easy either. But we are called to do everything within our power to live at peace with those around us, showing grace and forgiveness as Christ has shown to us. Matthew 5:9, Jesus says something very similar when he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." To be a peacemaker is to reflect the very nature of God, to bring his love and peace into our relationships and our communities. The challenge of peace with others is that peace doesn't always come naturally. We know this, we're human, right? This is our default. Sin, as we said earlier, creates division, hostility, and misunderstandings. Tripp actually writes that sin makes us better fighters than it does lovers. In our brokenness, we tend to hold grudges, right? We tend to defend ourselves. We want to protect our own interests. It's the natural state of human relationships without the transforming power of the gospel. But when we have peace with God and experience his peace within, we're given a new capacity to extend grace. Instead of being quick to anger or slow to forgive, we begin to reflect Christ's patience, kindness, and humility. The gospel empowers us to approach others with a spirit of reconciliation rather than a spirit of conflict. Forgiveness is central to living in peace with others, just as Christ forgave us when we didn't deserve it. He calls us to extend that same grace to others. In Colossians 3:13, Paul writes, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." It's Colossians 3:13. This doesn't mean ignoring wrongs, and it certainly doesn't mean that pretending hurt doesn't exist. But it does mean choosing to forgive. And it certainly means letting go of resentment. Forgiveness is hard. It is. I'm not going to lie. Forgiveness is hard. I mean, especially when we feel justified in our anger or in our pain. But Jesus' example of forgiveness on the cross teaches us that peace sometimes requires sacrifice. Jesus forgave even those who crucified him. He showed us that forgiveness is not about who's right or who's wrong, but about breaking a cycle of bitterness. When we forgive, we create space for peace to grow, allowing the gospel to heal and restore what was once broken. Being at peace with others means actively choosing to be agents of peace, not only in our personal relationships, but in our wider communities. In a world full of division and conflict and misunderstanding, Christians are called to be peacemakers, people who seek unity, understanding, and reconciliation. Practically, this means extending grace and empathy in our interactions, especially where there's disagreement. It might mean choosing to listen more than we choose to speak, to seek understanding instead of just assuming the worst. Living in peace with others, it isn't about avoiding conflict, but engaging it in a way that honors Christ, pursuing resolution and forgiveness whenever possible. Imagine a bridge connecting two sides of a very large river. It allows people to cross over and to meet in the middle, right? And we, when we live as agents of peace, we are almost like that bridge. We help connect people, creating pathways for understanding and forgiveness and reconciliation. Just as Christ bridged the gap between us and God, he calls us to build bridges with others, even when it's hard. Our lives as believers should be like that bridge, a visible and accessible way for others to encounter the peace of Christ. Through our actions, our words, and our choices, we reflect the peace of Jesus to a watching and a waiting world, inviting others to experience the same reconciliation that we found. I want us to remember most of all that peace is not passive. It's an active choice to love as Jesus loved, to forgive as Jesus forgave, and to pursue reconciliation as he pursued us. This is the mark of those who are truly children of God, those who bring peace to a world in need. As we've seen today, true peace isn't something we create or control. And that's one of the biggest things, right? We like to feel in control. We like to feel like we're creating the space to have peace. But in reality, it is something we receive through Jesus Christ. He reconciles us to God, granting us a foundational peace that cannot be shaken. From this peace with God flows a peace within ourselves that cannot be shaken. The Holy Spirit works in us, guarding our hearts and our minds and transforming us from the inside out. And finally, this peace that overflows into our relationships, it empowers us to live at peace with others, to forgive, and to be agents of reconciliation in a world filled with division. In Christ, peace is not merely a concept, it is a powerful, life-altering reality. In the presence of Jesus, in every area of our lives, it grounds us, it shapes us, and it calls us to bring peace to the world around us. May we live daily in this peace, anchored by his love and carrying his presence wherever we go. So let us remember, is a person, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord God, I pray as we encounter your Spirit that we can be called to peace. Lord God, I pray that we keep ourselves tied to you and who you are and the promises that you bring us back to. Lord God, we know you have overcome this world. And because of that, there is nothing you have not seen, there is nothing you have not handled, Lord God. We thank you for that reality, we thank you for that truth, and we pray that we can tie ourselves to that and ultimately have you as our reminder that peace exists even in chaos. Lord God, I pray for our nation. I pray for the troubles and the worries that are currently affecting us, Lord God. I pray that you can ultimately be in control and that we can know no matter what occurs that you are there and you are the Prince of Peace. Lord God, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.